to the CBS and Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, a Daytime Confidential listener shares their experience about the Save the Light rally in New York City. Forrester is a Logan company run by Logan women on Bold and the Beautiful. Forbes March joins As the World Turns. Billy and Sharon are exposed on Y&R. And the Battle of the Families heats up on Days of Our Lives. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
Mike, welcome.
I'm stunned into silence by your ability to get through that without tripping.
I know.
Hi.
Now listen here. I do not need a peanut gallery. Welcome, Mel.
Hey.
And joining us today, we have Peter.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me today.
You were at the Save the Guiding Light rally in New York City, where a bunch of Guiding Light fans went to their morning show to try and get some publicity for Guiding Light. Tell us about your experience.
Well, it was a very nice experience. I have to thank Karen Oswald. She was in charge of organizing it all. Basically, what it was is I got there at about 7:30. I was a little later than I had hoped. Subway was not working, and not so much working. I was just late. But we were there, and what happened, as you spoke last week on your podcast, you spoke about how CBS kind of moved us off to the side, and that's it. I met some ladies, very nice ladies, who got there at 6 o'clock, and they were told we had to move. We were only allowed 7 feet in from the street on the sidewalk, and that's where we had to stand. So that was that, but it was very nice people. We people in charge, but I'm standing. Did anyone watch?
I must confess, I'm not up that early.
Oh, but okay. because they did a cooking segment, and I was literally 15 feet from this cooking segment. But what they bastards at CBS. Oh, I hope I can say that. What they did at CBS.
Yes,
sorry.
You can say it.
It's okay. You're right.
We say a lot worse.
They moved, like, studio audience members right behind, so you couldn't even see us. They moved right in front. They really tried to block it, and we spoke with one of the camera people after. They were like, don't get any of the guiding light on if you can help it. But we managed to take a few signs on. It was very, it was pretty distasteful.
Then they'll turn around and put them on 60 Minutes and everything else and act like they care. Telenext really ought to just tell them no, that they don't want to do any specials on CBS commemorating the show and just do a DVD cut. I mean, they don't care. That's just a shame.
Not at all. It was sad. We were a little bummed about that, but we managed to sneak a few signs on.
Well, I got a question. This may be kind of a dumb question, but did they move any other people out of the way? Do they arrange the crowd to be in certain place, or is it just very random and then they were just keeping you out of the way?
Well, usually it is very random. They had some CBS – I don't watch the early show, but they have some earlies, angels, whatever it is, and they were honoring some girl, so all the people that were there for that woman were there in front. So maybe they were trying to – maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but they moved it so that those people would be in front, but no, there was not really any special group there that day, except for that, and that was not a lot of people. So,
well, also
nobody usually watches it is the early show anyway.
It is the lowest rated.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. Well, one of the other great things about the event, in addition to trying to support Guiding Light, was the fact that you got to interact with a lot of other Guiding Light fans. Roger from We Love Soaps was there, as well as a variety of other people. Can you tell us about any of your experiences in terms of interacting with other Guiding Light fans?
I met some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, and I have to give a shout-out to one particular person. Her name is Susan Hoffman. I was speaking with her. She's never seen an episode of Guiding Light in her life. She only watches One Life to Live, and she went on to support all soap operas. And so I just thought that was, worth mentioning. I thought that was great. But most everyone was there, Guiding Light. I liked the variety. I met some ladies who listened to it on radio and who'd watched it from its first day on television.
Wow.
And I met some people who had only been watching for 8 months. So, you know, the variety was great. I loved that. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. But I met great, yeah, we had a fun time. We spent a lot of time together that day. And we talked not only Guiding Light, we talked all soaps. And that was great to speak with other people live and in person.
It sounds like a great experience. Unfortunately, don't live in New York City. It would have been great to have been there. You're a Guiding Light fan. Tell us what your favorite stories on Guiding Light are at the moment.
Well, I like Bill and Lizzie. I love Bill and Lizzie. That's another thing I just have to say. Back to the rally. If these people want to appease the rally people, Otalia and Busy, big, big support. I met a girl who started watching Guiding Light only because of, she heard of the Otalia story, and she's hooked. She's hooked. She loves it. And so, I mean, I like that Olivia and Natalia story. I like all of Guiding Light now. I can't say that it was good for all of last year. I know it was pretty horrible, but I'm liking all of it now. I don't really know if there's a low point for me as of now, but I definitely, Bill and Lizzie is something I definitely always look forward to.
What do you think of the Spalding family?
I love that they're bringing back this, and that's, yeah, they are bringing back the Spaldings. I love that dynamic. I just watched this week's episodes, and I saw some interaction with Alan and Philip, and, you know, Alan was comparing Philip himself and James to Philip, and I just, you know, that cross-generational stuff, oh, it's great. I love that. And I love Beth. I love seeing Beth there being, you know, sort of a spokesperson, not so much a spokesperson for the family, but I like seeing her there and interacting more with the Spaldings, because I didn't really like see a lot of that. She only interacted with Alan, and that was very just bizarre of last year. I didn't really find that, you know, happy, or I didn't really like that, I should say.
How long have you been watching, Peter?
Not long. I've only been watching for about 2 years, so I'm not one of those people, but I've been watching it for 2 years, and I write up on those, you know, I always used to keep up with it from this or that or the other thing, and I used to catch it on days off, because there's a 10 a.m. in New York, and, you know, what's there to watch there. So if I was at home, occasionally I might turn it on, because I like Crystal Chappelle from Days of Our Lives.
I was going to ask what hooked you. I mean, you said you've been watching for 2 years. That was going to be one of my questions, but what actually held your interest, especially after the downturn last year that you kept watching?
I kept watching for, you know, I hate to say it and put it on one person's shoulders, but Marcy Ryland really kept me interested in Guiding Light for a lot of last year. I think she's a great, great actress, and she was one of the reasons I watched every day.
Now, you said you were a fan of Crystal Chappelle's on Days, so you were a Carly Buried Alive fan, huh?
I'm a Days fan, period. But yeah, I am a Carly fan of Buried Alive. I've seen episodes of it.
Now, for those who may want to be involved in the effort to help save Guiding Light, they did have the rally, but also we would encourage you to go online, go to Google, type in Save Guiding Light, and one of the first links that come up will be the Keep Guiding Light on Air petition, which at this time has over 15,000 signatures. So.
Great.
If you can go online, sign the petition if you haven't already, we would encourage you to do so. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us about your experience.
Well, thank you for having me. Just really quickly, I have the website in front of me, the Save the Light Rally. It's www.savethelightrally.com, simple as that. And you can go on. There's some photographs of the rally happening. And, you know, small but great, great, great people.
Well, thank you so much.
Awesome, Peter. Thank we'll be so sure much. To post that on the blog.
Yes, we'll be sure to link to that when we publish the episode. So thank you so much, and you have a great week.
Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Peter.
Bye. Mel, let's talk about some of the things that took place on Guiding Light this week. Reva was arrested. They had her walk in. I thought it was one of the better elements that they've had on the show filming-wise, because they had everybody playing the baseball game, and then you hear the sirens go. The police car pulls up, and Mallet takes Reva into the police station in handcuffs as everybody in the town is watching. What do you think?
It was well done. I will give guidance like that. But I'm just like, oh, Reva's arrested again? What time is this? Like 352? I don't understand. I don't know. Reba, I don't think she killed Edmund or anything, but I don't like how much of a jerk Mallet's being lately. It's just like, why are you being such a jerk to everybody? I don't understand. It's just, good job, Mallet. Go ahead, arrest the woman who's doing chemo and has cancer and just had a baby. Good job. But
well, if you commit the crime, you do the time.
But I don't think she did it.
Okay.
Is there evidence, hard evidence, to put her in jail? I mean, does he have just cause to do it?
Well, yeah.
He's got photos with timestamps on them.
Uh-huh.
Well, he just stole that baby over there from, where are they at? Somalia, somewhere. Stole that baby right out of Madonna's arms. But, you know, and they did that illegally. This show's crazy with that
baby.
Kind of stuff.
He used to be a hitman.
Whoever
like...
killed whoever killed Edmund deserves the keys to the city.
If Edmund's dead, bum bum bum.
Dum, dum, dum.
Could he be alive?
His body goes missing. So
okay.
What did they? never what? Mind. I was gonna say, what did he take that? Did he take that little drug that Romeo and Juliet took so that everybody would think he was dead, and then he's gonna come alive in the crypt or something?
Who knows?
I know, that's true. I know, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the baseball game, or softball game, because during it, Remy found out that his father's in trouble. Mel, is this the great Diamond Caper?
Remy already knew his father was
in
trouble.
Well, okay, he found out he was going to lose the house. Was that it?
Because
when I was watching, it says, I'm going to lose the house, and it was like, bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah. He just, it's a bunch of secrets over there. Clayton hadn't told Felicia that he don't have no more money because he went and invested in that Ponzi scheme. So, it's a bunch of mess.
Yeah, and Remy knew that his dad had invested everything that he had into that, in, you know, James's scheme.
And apparently he took out a second mortgage to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, what?
Well, apparently he doesn't read the paper.
So Remy went and stole the diamonds off of Edmund, and now he's like, well, I've got all these diamonds in my pocket as I walk around Springfield all day. Okay. Right, Remy, sure. I don't know why you don't just go ahead and cash those diamonds in, but it's all a big ploy.
Does he not know what people had to go through to get those diamonds? Does he need Lynn Marie Latham to write him a dissertation on the evils of diamonds? God.
It's all a big mess and a ploy just to bring my husband Cyrus back to town.
And I'll bet you you're excited about that.
Oh, I'm so happy. I haven't seen any Australian sexiness in like 3 months on my screen. There's just no way.
So I have to ask, are you voting for Marie Bartlett on SoPunks.net for their Adonis 2009?
Duh.
How many times have you voted already for him? Just curious.
You can only vote once a day. But I've done it every day. Oh, so
okay.
Dinah had on some really nice clothes this week.
She did look nice.
She did look nice, someone except for when she had the dress on and the softball the tennis shoes. It was like I was standing there looking at her. It's like she's playing softball
like
in a dress.
Dude, I'm not changing. You out your mind. I'm a tightest dress up. Put these shoes on. Let's do
it. Oh, well, you know, people do that like at the offices where I work. You see women when they go on their walks at lunch. They slip into their sneakers and do their power walk in their Prada suits.
I like the baseball game just for the sheer fact it put Blake on my screen.
Well, and I actually thought that it was the most effective use of the outdoor scenes that they've used, because we've seen that baseball field for months and months, and usually it was two people talking between a fence as snow came down.
At least you didn't see Kim Zimmer out there chucking a ball as fast as she could at Ellen Wheeler's head.
True, but I just thought that having the people on the bleachers and playing the game was a great use of it, because it was like, okay, this is what a baseball park was for, and all I could think of while I was watching it was it's like if they're trying to pitch Guiding Light as a new show, maybe it should be Baseball Wives or something. Like,
okay, we have talked about a baseball field. Entirely too long. We won't get to something important on The Young and the Restless.
Okay. Finally, before we move on, Otalia, Rafe returned. Mel?
They had a trial for him, and Frank came in and bailed Natalia and Olivia out and got Natalia's baby home. And here's Olivia and Natalia trying to hide the fact that they're in love from Rafe and the little baby, Emma. So I think...
Emma knows. She's smarter than everybody in Springfield.
Well, Rafe is going to give it, if they write it well, Rafe is going to give his mom hell. And he should, because she threw that Bible at him like a ton of bricks when he and Daisy were having that baby.
That's
and
right.
And wanted to get an abortion. So they have to play that beat. They have to play it. Daisy has to, well, in as much as Bonnie Dennison can attempt to rip her a new one, they need to at least write it and see where it goes. But, I mean, there needs to be that, because that's what's wrong with religious hypocrisy all the time. Because if you're pointing a finger at somebody, there are three pointing back at you. So, yeah, Natalia, God, that damn squish name is making me forget the woman's name. Natalia really needs to have to deal with some of that, because she's been running around pointing that finger at people.
I kind of think they will, because Rafe said last time he was out, he wanted to go to church with his mother, and because he was in prison, he found the religion to be comforting. So I think that he will be able to – I think he's probably going to go that route, because I feel that's a conflict that they need to address. Everybody's
and that's
been so,
real drama. Instead of making it Alan or whispering people in the – whispering day players, they really – for it to have good dramatic effect – they really need to have core characters that aren't evil, menacing people like Alan have a problem with it, because that's real life. There are really good, decent people that we all know that have mixed feelings about homosexuality. So they need to have Rafe, or, they really missed the boat with having Philip be so okay with it. I mean, Philip could have come back and had issues with it, and that could have been, part of his story. I mean, they really need to, because soaps are just so afraid of rocking the boat now on everything. I mean, in 1970, Erica had an abortion right after Roe v. Wade, and, they had Ruth Martin protesting the Vietnam War. Now it's like they're so afraid of ticking off these people, and it's like no one's even watching anyway, so what do you have to lose? Controversy always sells. Ask Madonna. Every time the churches protest her, they make more money for her. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
soaps don't get that, though. They're so afraid that, Meemaw in Kentucky is going to stop watching.
Had said this before. They need to move it along. They're stalled in that where are we going mode, and I think that Rafe – might be able to just one way or the other push them forward again, because the story to me is kind of stalled.
Well,
I feel like they have the same conversation over and over.
Yes, they do.
Well, they're like scrubs on GH.
Intimacy. They need to be showing some intimacy. I mean, okay, they're lesbians. It won't be that big of a deal. Look at All My Children. Those lesbians were making out all the time. Storyline sucked, but they were making out all the time. Why aren't they showing any intimacy? And they give all these excuses. Well, they're taking their time. Okay, Olivia's, 45 years old? They wouldn't be taking their time with that. I mean, they should.
That's
they
not Olivia's nature. She's not one to wait around, but she's waiting. Yeah.
She's one to throw you up against the wall and do something to you.
Yeah, exactly. they should have at least been kissing by now or more. I mean, have they only had one kiss?
Well,
not to start a new kiss drama, but still, I mean, that is kind of – and what in God's name does God and Light have to lose? I mean, they ought to show them tongue wrestling. I mean, what does it really matter?
Well, I'm going to use this opportunity to go to YNR for a moment or for a few minutes. We talked about it in the Performer of the Week episode, but – Billy finds out that the baby could also be Nick's. Jack is dealing with all the revelations. Sharon and Phyllis are each handling it in their own way. Meanwhile, Nick is just acting the fool in some respects, can't make up his mind who he wants to be with. It's a great storyline, Jamie.
Well, Nick is his father's son. I mean... We see Victor's 70, and he still can't decide between Nicky and Ashley. And so that boy grew up seeing that. And, a lot of people are, up in arms about it. And I think the difference is that Nick facilitates back and forth every other week. whereas Victor does tend to have, you know, pretty long stints with either woman. But Nick is just – but I buy it.
Between miscarriages.
Yeah, I totally buy it because, I mean, he and Phyllis came together because of Cassie's death, and him and Sharon fell apart because of Cassie's death. They've reconciled their issues with her death. And so, you know, this man is remembering a love that he had ever since he was a teenage boy. And, you know, it's basically the contrast between, you know, perfect love and realistic love. I mean, I would say he and Phyllis have a more mature, stable relationship. But, you know, Sharon is his first love, and Sharon has come undone. And he's feeling guilty about that because, you know, he doesn't feel like he was there for her when Cassie died. You know, but she pushed him away after Cassie died because she felt she blamed him for because Nick let Cassie go out that night after she was on punishment. So there was all these issues. It's like a Jodi Picoult novel, except, you know, the times when Ella Miller was writing it. But I'm fascinated by the story, by all the parts of it. If I had to find a weak link, and I love all these players, but Jack's just incessant desire to raise Newman children when he has two children of his own out there. I mean, it rings hollow when he's talking about what I wouldn't give to have another baby on my shoulder. It's like, you got two you didn't raise up. I mean, what is – they need to play up that – what is this obsession? I mean, is he so upset with Victor after all these years for stealing Jabot and stealing his sister that psychologically he has to pay this man back by raising every child in his family? It's like it's kind of becoming a little obsessive and weird, in my opinion, when he has two children of his own and Sharon. I love Sharon. I mean, I'm not team either one of them because I actually – that's the point – that's the art of a good triangle. This is how I was with Sonny, Brenda, and Jax. I would go back and forth. Like, one week I think I'm Nick and Sharon. One week I'm Phyllis and Nick. But, you know, they really – Sharon is starting to just become a hoe dog. And not in a good way.
I thought you were saying last week, walk it like a dog.
Well, it's okay to walk
it like a dog. You can't be a hoe dog.
No, let me explain. If you're Samantha Jones and you own your sexuality and you just go out there and walk it like a dog with the best of them and you want to do that and it's a conscious choice and it's not some psychological problem, I'm all for it. But when you're just screwing around because you're damaged goods and, you know, which that's good soap opera, I have to say, but it's just like, as far as Sharon's long-term rootability, I think she just needs to take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, maybe I just need to let my hoo-ha cool down a little bit.
Mike, Adam continues to gaslight Ashley, and he snuck out of the Newman Ranch, made it all the way to the hospital, delivered...
blind as a bat.
Blind as a bat. Well, maybe he has, what is it, sonar? Maybe he has sonar.
He's like that Daredevil, that one, exactly. That bad movie, that bad, what was that comic?
It was Daredevil.
Marvel comic?
It was Daredevil. Sorry. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
There we go. So, Mike, what do you think?
I thought he was just juicing his eyes to get through the appointment and that he could see better than what, when he first injected himself, but... again, you know, it's good. You know, he's making me on the edge of my seat waiting for him to get caught. And I know Victoria is suspicious. I think Victor is suspicious. And it has something to do with the wine, but I haven't figured out yet. Victor was looking at the wine that he grabbed, and I don't.
It was such a good year. I think it was the fact that it was such a good year.
I do too. I think that it was the bottle that he selected that made Victor kind of curious because he didn't just randomly go down like a blind guy would and just grab the bottle and come up with it. So I'm
poor
kind of
Victoria
wondering,
and JT.
Oh, was that just the most pathetic thing on the planet?
Yeah, and he's an investigator. Hello.
I know.
Did he not even take the chance to look down to make sure the boy's ankle monitor? I want him guarding me if I ever get into any trouble.
Well,
the other thing, too, is I always picture Victor's – he's got security guards, and I'm thinking that he must have a camera. So even through this whole thing when Ashley was wandering around and she could hear the baby crying, that somebody wouldn't say, well, let's check the cameras and see if
somebody's
out there.
Mike, have you not been paying attention to this show? That ranch is a hotbed for psychos showing up. Nikki, one of her husbands.
Well, someone was in the barn, weren't they?
Landis.
Yeah, her, that girl came in there and shot the shit out of all of them.
I know.
Mel, Raul, or Rawl, returned.
You're going to give her Mac and Rawl. Okay, let's go. Go, Mel, go.
And they embraced lost lovers.
Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning because back in the day, Mac and Rawl were together. Before Billy and Mac were together, so it is a history thing. But it's McKinsey, it's this new Clementine Ford mess with Rawl, and she's about 6 feet taller than he is, and I don't know what it is. As Jillian would say, she is Maczilla. So I think it's about time we slay the dragon and get on with it.
Now, Mike, you were okay. You obviously had something to say about Rawl's return.
Not really.
Oh,
it's not.
So you're gonna go and say you're giving it to Mel and then not have anything to say.
No, I just meant because she's gonna rip. And Mets has to be the one place that she likes to yield her baseball bat. So I just figured that
Fuck that. We got a knife.
Now Rawlin does not impress me, and Mac. Gosh, the girl. I don't like her.
Maczilla.
I just don't like the character, and I feel like. Clementine had a little bit more spitfire in her when she was talking to Billy, but I'm still not feeling any chemistry between the two.
She doesn't.
That's
have
one thing that works,
anyone,
though.
No,
that's the one thing that works with the quad that Jamie was talking about. Is that all four people have been playing the same part for years, and whoever's writing the dialogue for them is doing such a good job that this contrived quadrangle. Actually works because of the way it's written. And when I watch Billy and Mac and Rawl, I don't see any chemistry between any of them at all.
Jamie, what do you think of Rawl and Heifer?
Oh.
Heifer.
Rawl, he was pretty much, he and that Rihanna were my least favorite Glow by Jabot kids, but I kind of liked him a little bit by the time they got him with Brittany, but then that big old mobster man just snatched her away.
John Enos?
And showed her what a real man could do. She was like, I'm tired of little boys. I don't know, it's just him, you know, it's just kind of skeevy to me because, you know, to me, Mac is still a little Ashley Bosham, and so him talking about all the hot sex they've been having, I'm like, you nasty little Rawl, you get away from her. I don't know. Clementine, I think that it's like...
Clementine, Clementine.
I feel like a psychiatrist, like when you're close to a breakthrough. I think it's there. I really... Look, I'm Paula Abdul. It's real. It's something there. She's just not breaking through. Where's my pills? But, you know, so I guess I'm not ready to just go bloody awful, do the Simon yet, but I think she's capable. I just think she needs something to fire her up. There needs to be some fire put in her belly, and I don't think they're going to find it in the Glow by Jabot storylines. That's sometimes the risk you run with a recast. You can't always go to history, because if she doesn't have chemistry with Billy Miller, which she doesn't, then that iconic pairing is over, and it's smart to let them let it go. She doesn't have chemistry with Rawl either. She had a little bit more chemistry with him than she did Billy, but that's like saying...
He had to stand up on his tippy toes to kiss her.
Well, that's not her fault.
Yep.
That's not her fault. His height problems are not
true,
her fault.
True.
But
well, let's.
I think she's had chemistry with Kane, but you know they're not going to touch that sacred cow again. Oh,
what is the theme of this? Heifers and cows. Let's.
I do.
Speaking of which,
that,
let's
you know,
talk
that,
about Donna
pretty,
Logan.
They need to put her in an orbit with Kane and Lily and see where that goes.
Let's talk about Donna Logan and the Logan family, because Brooke went on and did her own video blog response to Stephanie. I like that they're using the technology, but she goes, this is a Logan company run by Logan women. If that isn't a slap in the face to all kinds of things, Mike.
Oh yeah. That was the SmackDown that, brought a little Thomas in from I don't know where to kind of lay it on Brooke, but unfortunately, it just didn't come off. I don't see Brooke. I don't know. Maybe Jamie can help me out with this. I don't see Brooke thinking that it's a Logan company. She's been more Forrester. No, but she's been more Forrester than anything else. And I don't think she would give credit to her sister for
That was bad writing for them to try to play up this Logan thing. If they would have had Donna do this, I would have been pissed off because I'm so tired of the Donna show. But I am a card-carrying Brooke Logan Forrester fan. And she saved that company with belief. She did. Stephanie loves to talk about founding the company. Here's the thing. You can found a company and it'd be successful, but belief put them on the map. Belief made them millions of dollars. Belief was so big that they gave Brooke 51% of the company to keep her from selling it to Spectra or another competitor. So Brooke does, I mean, that's what I hate about the show sometimes with them rewriting history to suit whatever current plot. I mean, they did bring up everything that Brooke had done for the company, the bedroom line and all that stuff. And it's when you're talking about the original Forresters, fine, but Stephanie loves to bring up Taylor. She's no more an original Forrester than Brooke.
Where are Felicia and Thor?
Stephanie is a Forrester in the exact same way that Brooke is a Forrester. She married a Forrester. And in fact, Brooke is more so because Brooke has two biological Forrester children. So for, you know, Ridge's little half-breed son, who's really the grandson of Massimo Moroni, to come in there strutting around in the face of Eric Forrester's real children, who are Eric, you know, little Rick.
I actually think that Rick made that point to Thomas and said,
"Yeah,
you're
he
not
does. Rick does Forrester. Do it."
But what I don't understand is where Thorne and Felicia, because if I were those kids and I just had,
they were on.
Oh, we'll find Waldo.
They were on for like 10 minutes on Friday. They were on there.
But you know what? I blame those actors. I mean, why are they putting up with that? I mean, I don't advocate actors leaving shows, but come on, there just needs to be a point where you realize they're just not that into you. Leslie Kay is too good for that. She needs to tell them to kick rocks.
They need to move her to BM or to YNR.
Well, they can't keep Melanie Scott over there. They don't have any money for Leslie Kay.
Well, Leslie Kay could go over there and get paid more because she'd actually be used. Then she's getting paid now.
Like I said, and who's going to pay Melanie Scott? What are you gonna do with her?
I don't know. I don't know, but someone's paying
50 Super Prodigious covers.
Someone's paying for March on As the World Turns. He's going to be Noah's new film studies advisor. Could he be the thing that becomes the wedge between Luke and Noah? Yet I guess another wedge, shall we say, Mike?
The lemon wedge in a. Okay, so
the cream in the Oreo cookie, something like that.
Gosh. One can only hope, but from what I've read, word is that there is no intention to take it that direction. I'm always good for, you know, again, bringing on new people, and this show is good for bringing on new people and not really developing any story. So
good or no?
I'm happy that Forbes Marks has a job. And that he feels that he's going to be taking on a challenge playing a gay character, but
they stole that from Roger Newcomb. He played gay in Roger Newcomb's movie. Mm-hmm. That Chris Galtman wouldn't know an original idea if it bit him on his hoo-ha.
Well, Mike, before the podcast, you had mentioned that the only redeeming thing about As the World Turns this last week was Parker and Carly and that whole storyline. And I watched all of this last week, and I totally agree.
There, if there was, you know, okay, first of all, putting the Vortex of Suck on 5 days a week is not a good idea. And the Vortex is becoming a black hole because it's sucking in every freaking character on the show that is not Carly or Craig.
We're going to have to rename this show Veggie Tales because
– oh, my God. It's awful. It's awful, just like Luke would say.
It is. But we have to rename it Veggie Tales because Rosanna was a veggie and now she's nurturing veggies.
Jeez.
And so
I hate to say it because, you know, I like Katie McClain, but I can't even watch. It's not watchable for me.
It isn't.
And Harley, finally, somebody got through to Parker because his anger thing, I know he's got issues, but it was starting to get a little old. So I'm glad that they finally just have this little pact that they're going to watch out for each other, and they realize that they have unorthodox methods in dealing with their own issues, and that's the way it should be. And if
they're going to kill Parker, no.
Oh, jeez.
That's not a real spoiler, but they killed Adam, so what's to keep him from killing all the rest of the Munson kids? They killed Jennifer.
Oh, there's something coming up with Adam. Didn't they say he was going to be in Afghanistan, that he was killed in action? And now, yeah. Like, some new character is coming on who's a military guy? I don't know about that.
It's just all shades of bad. I mean, this show is all shades of bad.
It's all over the place.
With the exception of Carly and Parker, that storyline, I'll agree.
I'm not even going to lie. Carly's instant alcoholism doesn't ring true at all.
See, I don't think it's instant. I mean, they've been working up to this for like 6 months.
Yeah, but it's contrived. No alcoholic drinks 7 shots in a row like that day. I mean, that's just stupid. That's just a rush to try to... An alcoholism storyline, you play out the beats. It's been looking like Carly's been a fun drunk. It has not been written like she was an alcoholic until...
Well, I'm sure like part of it was
yesterday.
The pregnancy, but I'll say this.
What I had
really hoped for is that Rosanna would return, and that Katie McLean as Rosanna would be able to fill the gap left by Maura West when she goes on maternity leave. And at this point, there isn't a hope and a prayer that that will happen.
They sit there and they brought.
There's
Katie
not a hope
McLean
and a prayer that this show is going to stay on the air. I'm just going to say it. There's just not a hope and a prayer. I mean, they have had the best advance warning. Say what anyone will about Days of Our Lives. They had to, you know, whatever, they didn't have to, but they got rid of 5 of their vets to stay on the air, and they started writing a better show. As the World Turns knows that they're in trouble, and they're churning out this crap every week. It's like, what's the point? Just what's the point? You're giving Barbara Bloom the incentive and carte blanche to give us back the Newlywed Game or Squeeze My Bottom or whatever stupid game show they're going to bring on to replace the show. I mean,
Mike.
And who could blame them? Who could blame them? As bad as they're writing this show, who could blame them?
Mike, do you think that Casey and Allison are a way to save this show and their romance and doing the deed?
Who?
Oh, you mean the junior vortex of suck? No, 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 no. And why was Larry brought back? I mean, I know that Allison and her dad can work out. Oh, wait. No, they resolve their issues in an hour. In one episode, Allison, who didn't want to speak to her dad, and they made up in 1 hour. So
it was like the last 30 minutes.
That story's over with.
They needed to get him on for an interview for anotherworldtoday.com.
Oh, and poor Hunter, are they going to turn him into a psychotic?
Oh, it looks like they're heading him that way.
Try to kill Allison with a needle on the top of the hospital roof or something like that, and Casey's going to save her? Is that where we're going with this?
It does look like he's
coming.
They're going
to put a baby in a tree.
And see, and I'm sick.
David Andrew McDonald over and put a baby in a tree.
I am sick of them also turning nerds into psychos. Nerds are not psychos. Yeah. Anyways, moving on to Days of Our Lives. Jamie, take it away.
Yeah, Days of Our Lives was good this week. I was happy with Michelle. I tell you what, you know, the Kittyakis versus the Damira feud is firing on all cylinders. Little Shelly Hennig is Stephanie Johnson is giving good heroin in the tradition of her mother Kayla and Hope and Jennifer. And, you know, all the beats are there. It's really playing out well. There was a dramatic, amazing climax with Bo and Victor that harkened on their 30-year history of Bo. You know, Bo has basically been passive-aggressive with Victor. You know, sometimes he likes him as a father, sometimes he doesn't. And, you know, it's really shaping up. I'm like, I'm really impressed with Days. The J. Kenneth Johnson has toned down his performance. He's not chewing scenery.
And you said in the Performer of the Week episode that you were actually liking Molly Burnett.
Molly Burnett. Yes, I am. I'm liking
Melanie. I'm still, like, reeling from
that. Yeah, like, the world is not right.
What?
Speaking of all shades of wrong.
She's not front burner, meaning she's not driving the story. Whoever is helming this show now, because I refuse to give Dina Higley credit for this, Chris Whitesell is her co-head, and he wrote one of my – I didn't realize this until someone pointed it out on Facebook, because I posted my absolute favorite episode from General Hospital ever, which was Alan and Monica's 20th wedding anniversary, which ended with a Celine Dion montage of their years together. So, yeah, I'm a cheese ball. And Chris Whitesell wrote that episode. He was head writing back then. And I was like, yeah, so – it's not Dina Higley. They just have her there filing, sharpening pencils, I guess. Someone is smartly playing her as a side character, and she's working as a side character. She's kind of got that vibe of that, you know, typical Days scrappy villainous thing that they've done well over the years. She stopped those weird facial expressions with her lips and her eyes, and, you know, that was very jarring, and so she's kind of toned that down. And they're writing really fun, smart, snarky dialogue for her that I'm enjoying, you know. And it could be the fact that Wes Ramsey has just been so bad in his part that it's kind of like my focus zeroed in on him. But,
well, speaking, you know, of psychos, that character is being written.
Well, yeah, he's a psycho, but he's not a good psycho. Good psychos on soaps are supposed to either A, terrify you, or B, turn you on. And I don't think he did that for anyone in the audience, but I don't know. That's just me. But, you know, this gave us good conflict. It gave us good scenes with Lexi and Stefano, with Nicole and EJ, you know, all this stuff playing out. And then you juxtapose that with a really interesting teen storyline with Mia and Will, and then Sammy and Rafe's love story, which is pretty good. So, yeah, I don't know. It just kind of surprised me that Days is actually interesting this week.
I thought it was hilarious that they have him in the morgue, in the little box next to her. And is that you? Is that you? I thought it was hilarious. Because, I mean, isn't he intended to be cremated?
Cremation.
Yeah. It's like...
And the guy that's playing the mortician, that's the last Mason Capwell on Santa Barbara.
Wasn't he on Sunset Beach, too?
Yes, he played Adam Deschanel on
Sunset. Oh, that's right. Sunset. That's right.
Cole's father.
Well,
And he played, well, not, no, I'm sorry. He played Adam Carrington on Dynasty. What was, he was Mr. Deschanel. I forget his first name. But, yeah, he was on Sunset Beach also.
Final thoughts, Mel.
My final thought is Cyrus is coming back to Guiding Light this week, and I'm really excited.
Mike?
As the world turns, get it together. You got limited amount of time. Make it work for you.
Make it work, in the famous words of
work.
In the famous words,
jeez,
of Tim Gunn.
I mean, you're turning off people that have been watching for 20 plus years. That's a really hard thing to do.
Jamie,
my final thoughts is
just the way you say it. It sounds like you're winding up for something.
Well, no, my final thought is Nielsen's final thought. You know, three CBS soaps had tied their record worst ratings in women 18 to 49, which is the demo that Madison Avenue really cares about the most. Mm-hmm. And that's Bold and the Beautiful, As the World Turns, Guiding Light. Guiding Light, it's a given. I mean, all the news of the cancellation and, you know, what's going to happen and speculation, you know, a lot of people that aren't just really invested will just tune out. And that's really sad because, you know, Guiding Light is firing on all cylinders in terms of, you know, getting its second win. But they should have got their second win a year earlier. And I'm hoping As the World Turns would learn from that lesson, but it doesn't seem to be kicking in yet. And Bold and the Beautiful, I'm sorry. This is the thing about that show. All that rhetoric and all that, oh, it's the most watched serial in the world, that's not going to amount to a hill of beans if their ratings here in the U.S. don't improve, because there's never been a soap that stayed in production because it was so successful overseas. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Santa Barbara was successful overseas. They have got to do something at that show. Maria Arena Bell needs to take control of both Bell shows. I'm sorry, I'll just say it. Bold and Beautiful is all shades of bad. It's As mm-hmm. the World Turns bad, and there's no reason for that. I mean, this show used to be the equivalent of a Jackie Collins novel. It was guilty pleasure, sex, fun, in the sun, you know, and that was when Brad was doing it. I don't know what has happened to Brad Bell. I don't know if he's bored, if he's phoning it in. I don't
Maybe
know
it's
if
Kay
there's
Alden.
A clone. I don't know if Brad Bell is tied up in the basement of Forrester Creations and it's a fake Brad Bell that's like, you know, that's really like, I don't know, Dina Higley dressed up as him and is going to pull off a mask, but it's just something's got to happen at Bold and the Beautiful because it's like they're purposefully tanking the show. I just don't understand.
Oh yeah, I have another a footnote to my thought. This Guiding Light style filming on As the World Turns is awful. I mean, the
yes,
shaky cameras, the outdoor scenes, it just does not carry over across to the viewer. I just
and
don't
like
it.
And it's nothing like The Hills. I watched The Hills again the other day because
Your girl's returned.
Yes, she's coming back. Well, she's coming back tonight, so I had to get back into The Hills so that I could get ready for Kristen's return. The Hills looks just like a primetime soap opera. It doesn't look like this crap on that we're seeing on daytime. It's
well,
the thing is,
Guiding Light, it's every character is affected. The whole show is affected. But when you have As the World Turns, you have some of the show outside, some of the show inside in the studio, and it really, really puts the contrast between the two. And it's almost watching Paul and Rosanna in a cornfield.
And they don't even
they
know.
Are in
T-Pack. As the World Turns, As the World Turns doesn't even know like how to pick a good spot when they're filming outside. When they had Liberty go to New York, they filmed in some boring old courthouse. Like they couldn't go downtown. I'm like, this is just laziness. It's just laziness, and it's shameful that someone's getting paid that much money to produce this crap.
Well. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode on the blog at daytimeconfidential.com. Click on podcast and then the episode number that corresponds with what you see on your iPod or on your computer. Be sure to send your emails to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. If you're a new listener, we'll try and give you a shout out. Until next time, we thank you for listening. So long, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.